Well, welcome to Navigation Church. I know I'm not the first one to say it. I probably won't be the last one to say it for our online community. So happy you're with us today. I need to go ahead. I'm going to do a little bit of housework before we get started in order for all of us to be on the same page, and then I'm going to jump in today's topic. The first thing I want to tell you is you are entering to the month of January, where this is a prayer and fasting month. Having said that, we are not going to talk about prayer nor fasting on Sunday mornings. Did you follow me on that? So here's what I'm going to believe that you know how to pray. And if you don't know how to pray, do you know how to talk? Everyone say yes or no. Okay, talk to God, that's prayer. Ta-da! Congratulations, you know how to pray all of a sudden. Now, if you don't know what fasting is, we have some resources for you. But I want to encourage you to start your month off, or this 2021 off, this month in January, with a time of prayer and fasting. And specifically, we as a church, we want to pray for the men of our church. Then we're going to pray for the women of our church. Then we're going to pray for the students, a teenage. And then the next week, we're going to pray for the teenagers again. I'm just kidding. I was just making sure you're paying attention. Then we're going to pray for the kids, and then we're going to pray for the lost. We're going to pray for those who don't know Jesus. Does anyone have in your life, either a man, a woman, a student, a child, or someone in your life that doesn't know Jesus? If that's you, raise your hand at me. Okay, congratulations. 100% of you, except the six of you that are sleeping already. It's not that boring of a sermon. Stay with me. So we want to have a time of prayer, but I don't want to have an entire month of preaching on how to pray. I just want to encourage you to pray. And if you don't know how to do that, don't worry. We have resources at the end of service. But the first thing I need you to do, everybody pull out your phone. If you're watching at home and you're streaming, don't worry. The stream will stay there. Everyone pull out your phone. There's two things I need you to do in any order that you want to. Feel free to go on any social media and check in. That is called digital evangelism. So feel free to go and check in. Let people know you're here. The second thing, if you have our app, can you please open our app right now? If you don't have our app, I need you to open our app and download it. And the reason why is, as soon as you open the app, the first thing you're going to see is something called the sermon notes. How many see that? It probably has a logo like this, or the PowerPoint that you see. For those watching online, you're going to see that logo. At the end of those sermon notes, you're going to find a downloadable PDF that is a 6-day prayer plan, starting tomorrow, going through Saturday, that we're going to be praying together as a church for the men. And so if you don't know about prayer, don't worry. There's a real simple page on that. If you don't know about fasting, I put in about 2 pages on that. Then we're going to get started. I'm just going to ask you to make a list of men in your life, from husbands to sons, fathers, brothers, uncles, nephews, any other male relatives. Who are some people in your life you should have on a prayer list? And now for me, I'm old-fashioned. I had to print mine out. But you can do yours on your phone, you can do it on a tablet, do it on your computer. I'm just going to ask you to take, and everyone ready for this, is a massive commitment. Start with 3 minutes tomorrow. 3 whole minutes out of your life. And if you get up in the morning, you probably have 3 minutes before you brush your teeth while sitting on a toilet. Let's just be honest, you have time. You have time in your schedule that you could probably pull this out and go ahead and start praying for some people. And so the reason I wanted you to open that up is that's where you're going to be able to find this resource. For those in our online community, I'm not sure which platform you're on, but if you need help finding that, just put a comment in right now, and the different moderators are going to send you a link where you'll be able to go and get that. And so I just want to invite everyone to be a part of this prayer time that we have at Navigation Church. And when it comes to praying for the men this week, that's my only sermon on prayer. I now want to just talk about men. And so, ladies, you are welcome to listen in today. There's a chance you're going to learn something about men. And men, you should know, most of the comments I'm going to make today are the broad comments. They're the wide blanket, the wide net, just to kind of talk about all of us. And in saying that, Navigation Church, can we just tell those who aren't really familiar with our community what to come to expect? And here's what it is. If you're at Navigation Church thinking that everyone's perfect, you are going to be sadly mistaken. We are, and by the way, men, I need a couple of you to help me on this one. We are just a group of jacked up people. Like, we're messed up. We do things wrong. We disappoint people all the time. We are flawed. And just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're perfect. And here's the crazy thing. Some of us still fall into a wrong belief system because you drove up to church, aggravated at someone, but the moment you walked in that front door, you put the smile on your face anyway to let all the other Christians around you know that everything's fine. Can we just be honest with each other? Not everybody in here is fine today. I'm actually doing okay. The kids didn't drive me nuts this morning. Granted, three were still sleeping when I left. So, I mean, odds were in my favor that they weren't going to annoy me first thing out the bat. But there's also the rest of the day that I might not be doing well. So can we, just maybe this month alone, we don't have to do this all the time, can we go ahead and act like church isn't the place you come to because life is perfect, but church is the place you come to because you want a perfect life? Can we just act like maybe today is a day you're not looking forward to tomorrow, or that you're struggling with a death, a sickness, a frustration, and you walked into this place, and if you walked into the place thinking you have to be perfect, to me that's as crazy as driving to your doctor and him say, what's going on, and you go, everything's fine, while blood is pouring out of you. It's like rushing up to the emergency room, running in the door, and just saying, hey, I just showed up to see how the doctors were doing. No, if you go, Jesus actually said this, I'm not coming for the people that are whole, I'm coming for the people that are sick. And so here at Navigation Church, I think the only way we're going to get some work done today, next Sunday, the following Sunday, if you're online as you're connecting with us this Wednesday night coming up in our prayer meetings, different times like this, the only way we get work done in our lives is if we get to the point where we go, okay, something's not right and I'd like to be better. And so men, can I just ask you a couple questions? When it comes to you, do you feel alone when it comes to your insecurities, when it comes to the size of your wallet? Are you alone in thinking that no one else out there feels the way you do when it comes to the paycheck that you get? Let me ask you this. How many times did your kids hear about gifts that other families got and they came back and you didn't feel like you bought enough or could do enough or buy big enough gifts compared to everyone else around because your wallet's not the size? Do you have those insecurities, or am I the only one that's aware of my paycheck or lack thereof? Okay, men, don't worry. I have a whole list of these, so let's just keep talking about it. Men, do you think you're the only one insecure about your physical body? Oh, I wore baggy today because I've been eating like a boss for the last 2 weeks. I'm not going to lie. I trimmed up my beard today, looked in the mirror, and I was like, God, hon, my face looks fat. And you know what? It doesn't matter what she said. It doesn't matter. She was loving and supportive. But when she kind of goes, you know it is. You know it is. She didn't have to say it. Man, are you the only one that looks around and maybe you feel good about you, but then another dude comes walking in with biceps falling off to the side and a slit up in his chest that's poking out the top, and you just think, good God, he must be ripped underneath there. And you go home, pull your shirt off, and look in the mirror, and the only thing you see is a bunch of love handles and a nasty mole that keeps growing with 8 hairs coming out, and thinking at some point, was that too much? I didn't think it was. I mean, you and I both know we don't want to see you at the pool. That thing's nasty. Get it checked out. Men, do you think you're the only one that has insecurities because you are unaware of the expectations that your work has for you? Am I doing enough? Am I performing enough? Am I achieving enough? Am I excelling enough? Do you think you're the only one with those insecure expectations of a household? Do your kids, do you do enough for them? Are you around consistent enough to give to them? Do you sit long enough for your wife to talk through everything that she wants to talk through and you never interrupt, thinking that you're giving an answer to a solution while she's just kind of communicating to you? Boy, I really feel like I went on a rabbit trail there. But do you feel insecure that you're the man that you need to be at home with your spouse in bed? Let's be honest. Do you think you're the only one with those insecurities? Do you think you're the only one insecure about the relationships around you, and are you a good friend? Oh, grandpas, I won't leave you out. Are you a good grandpa? This isn't an age thing. This isn't a marriage thing. This is a man thing. Do you think you're the only one with insecurity in your life because you have a perceived notion of what it means to, quote, be a man, but you fall short of it? So, men, I'm just going to ask for a little bit of boldness here. Does anyone in here today feel like you have insecurities? Okay, good. I think we can keep talking now. And by the way, in order to do this, you have to see this, you're not alone. Actually, in Genesis 2, verse 18, so this is at the very beginning of time. If you're a follower of Christ, the belief system is that God created the heavens and the earth. At the very beginning of time, he created the planets, he created stars, he created trees, he created aardvarks, he created all these kind of different things. I'm just seeing if you're paying attention still. And so, but then he created this thing called mankind. He formed it and shaped it out of the earth, and he breathed into his nostril, and man was there. And you probably know his name's Adam. And right after God created all this amazing thing and said, it's blessed and it is good, it is blessed and it is good, God said this, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. See, all the time I've ever heard this sermon preached, this scripture preached, this is about your spouse. But I actually, the more that I've been looking at and studying this, I don't think this has to do with marriage alone. And here's one of the reasons I say that. Jesus was never married. And God didn't look at him and say, this is not good. We need to get you hooked up. We have apostles that were never married. Here's what he's saying. Men, you can't do this thing called life all by yourself. You need someone there alongside of you. And it's important in this conversation, it's so important to realize that we think we have this mindset that I have to be a man and I have to do this thing called life. But in reality, at the very beginning of time, God said, it's not good for you to go on this alone. But yet somehow, church culture, men are alone. And I don't know why. So here's a couple fun stats for you. Why? Because I'm a statistics guy. Washington Area Coalition of Men's Ministry says this, when mothers come to Christ, her family will join her 17% of the time. But when fathers come to the Christ, 93% of the time the family comes. To me, that's a pretty important thing. So men, not only can you not be alone, men, you don't do it alone. You are leaders. And by the way, this isn't some sexist, men are this, women aren't this. I'm talking to men today. Women, next week, I'll pick on you. Chances are my wife's going to do a run-in. I'll be honest. I will run everything by her first. But today, men, you have to see the importance of you leading in your house and the spiritual integrity of who you are. But here's the crazy thing. 95% of men say they have no male friends, and less than one-third of men in church say they have a friend at all. So we're trying to do this thing by ourselves, but yet we're completely disconnected from the world around us, where Christ himself is all about relationships. Fewer than 10%, I love this, Navigation Church, this is not you, so you can clap your hands when we're done with this, not at the statistic, but what you do here. Fewer than 10% of U.S. churches are able to establish and maintain a vibrant men's ministry. We aren't in the 90%. We are in the top. And I, by the way, at the end of service, I'm pretty sure I'll be able to prove that for you, to you. Any given Sunday, there are 13 million more women, adult women, than men in churches. And fewer than 1% of church-going men participate in any sort of ongoing men's program. So what is the main point for today that I would like to try to give to you, try to explain to you, try to talk to you about? Men, you do not have to do this thing called life alone, and if actually you want to be successful, you need to do life with other men. You need to have someone that you can talk to, someone you can talk insecurities about. By the way, those of you that are married, what if, just a thought for you. I know you're supposed to have your best friend at home, your soulmate, your life partner, whatever that is. But you know, there's sometimes at home we take all of today's junk and we take it home, and the only place we have to process and dump it on is our spouse. What if on the drive home you had another guy that you could just talk to and say, hey, before I go home and abuse the family with my issues, can I get some of this off my chest so that when I can show up, rather than carrying work home with me, rather than carrying stress home with me, rather than carrying insecurities home with me, I'm ready to go home and be dad, husband, friend. But our vulnerability is only as good as our transparency. And if we're not willing to be transparent one to another, and you show up to church and you just smile good and you say, hey, I have some friends, all are fine and my life is doing okay, guess where? Your transparency will keep you from being vulnerable. And if you can't be vulnerable, we can't get in touch with what God's wanting to do today. And that is some work on some men. And so I would like to talk to you. How many have ever heard of a guy named Elijah before out of 1 Kings? Elijah. Great. If you don't know this guy, he's just awesome. He's just fun. He does crazy things with axe heads, all kinds of stuff. So you want to go read about him. But there was this one time, if you don't know the story, I'm going to tell you a narrative right now. And if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, this may seem really weird. But by the way, this was thousands of years ago when pagan nations were all over the place, not just worshiping other gods. But in worshiping other gods, they were doing things like animal sacrifices and human sacrifices, and there was always these competing gods. And this one god specifically, how many have ever heard of Baal before? Heard of Baal? So there was this contest where these 400 prophets of Baal were like, our God is better than your God. And Elijah was the one prophet going, my God's better than your God. And they're like 400 prophets going, our God's better than your God. And he's over here like, no, mine really is better. Like, you can keep screaming and shouting, but I'll win. Actually, here's what we'll do. Let's set up two different altars, or we'll set up an altar. And we'll dig a moat. Actually, he didn't dig the moat yet. Sorry, I'm jumping ahead of my story. We'll put an animal sacrifice on it, and we'll ask God to rain down fire from heaven. And whatever God rains down fire from heaven, that's whose God is the winner. So the prophets of Baal, they start praying, and they start cutting themselves at one point, and they're screaming and shouting, asking for their God to rain fire down from heaven, and they're not doing anything. And Elijah, men, if you want to know why you like Elijah, Elijah started trash-talking. This is a true story. Elijah literally says to them, if you look in the Bible, first thing he says to him is, maybe you need to scream louder, your God can't hear you. The second thing he says is, there's a chance your God is busy going to the bathroom. Like, if you really break down, Elijah started trash talking all these prophets, and they eventually give out. I don't know if they've cut themselves so much, now they're bleeding, and they're exhausted, and they're screaming, and Elijah goes, hang on, it's my turn. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to dig a moat around this thing, and on this sacrifice that we want fire to fall down and consume it, let's dump a bunch of water on it. Why? Because when I'm going to show my God off, I'm going to show him showing off. And Elijah steps back, and his prayer was so simple. He kind of went, hey, God, I know you're about to do this, but I'm going to say this McDonald's-like prayer so everyone around here can hear me say this, and fire. And all of a sudden, fire came pouring down, consumed the offering. The children of Israel, all the people around there was part of this contest, was like, dude, your God's real. And he's like, I know my God's real. So here's what I'm going to do now. And by the way, this seems so, like, if you don't know the Bible, it seems really, like, harsh. Elijah, one guy, goes and kills 400 prophets of Baal. And I know that seems really, like, morbid, but it's like, hang on, we don't want this in our world. So one guy took out 400 people. I don't see Rambo doing that. Like, now you know my age because my reference. Like, it just, dude, he wipes all these people out, and when he gets done, he goes to leave. And this other person, this main kind of figurehead that was fighting against him was this woman named Jezebel. And so Jezebel, let's read this. It said in 1 Kings 19, verses 1 through 4, now Ahab told Jezebel, this is like a general, came back and reported to the commander. He said, Elijah has done, and he's killed all the prophets with a sword. I like to see that sword. I mean, to the hilt, that thing's bloody. And so Jezebel sent a message to Elijah and said this, may the gods deal with me. So this is the main opposing general, if you would, sends a word to this prophet Elijah, who just rained down fire from heaven, had a killing on his day at the altar. And he said this, she goes, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life that of one of them. Basically, I'm going to kill you within 24 hours. That's what the message that she sent. Elijah, this can't be right. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. So you had 400 prophets of Baal, and this one lady said, I'm going to kill you. And now he's bolting for his life. And then he came to Beersheba in Judah, and he left his servant there. So now he decided to not do life together. He did it alone. He left his servant there, and while he went a day's journey into the wilderness, or men, can I say it like this? When you're facing tough times, you just keep walking down that road of darkness and a journey all by yourself. Okay. He went a day's journey, and he came to a broom bush. He sat down underneath it that he might die. And here's his prayer. Man of faith and power in front of thousands of people with an altar soaked with water, he said this prayer. I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. He's depressed. He's suicidal. He's dark. He's alone. And if I was with Elijah, here's what I would have said to him. Dude, be a man. Right? Isn't that what we say? Isn't that what we say when other people aren't acting the way they're supposed to? When other dudes are acting all emotional and they just need to straighten up and they just need to pull themselves up by their bootstraps and keep marching on? And dude, be a man. But hang on, he wanted to be a man. But there's a war that's going on inside of him. And I actually heard a pastor named Joe Ehrman actually say this. The phrase, be a man, may be one of the most detrimental things we've ever said to our kids. Guys, if you're in here right now and you grew up with a father figure, male figure in your life that would look at you and just say, be a man, there is a chance that was detrimental words to your ears, because chances are you heard that phrase at a time in your life when you were emotional, when you were crying, when you were trying to figure out your life. And what it was, why don't you push that down and look the way that a man should look? Or here's another way to say it. Can you please disconnect your heart from your head? And I actually believe that's very detrimental. And if you think about it, that is what a man's supposed to do. We're not supposed to be emotional. We're supposed to be logical. We're not supposed to have feelings. We're supposed to get jobs done. We're supposed to, actually, here's the training. We had our training that masculinity was equal to the athletic ability that we had on the playground. Right? Because when you're a boy on the playground, could you hit that ball no one else did? Did you stay in the longest during dodgeball? Kids, you do dodgeball anymore? I'm sorry, that's a great social experiment they should bring back. It's fantastic when you dodge, dip, dive, duck, and dodge. And so if you don't know how to play it, grab a wrench. Okay, some of you get that movie. You're welcome. You're welcome. I can't highlight that movie because it's probably not like PG at all. So quit Google search. Okay. But here's the thing, as a man, somehow, if you think about it, kids, when they're younger, the more athletic they are, the higher they're promoted in the social realms of the world around them. Find me the kid who loves colors and looking at paintings versus the kid who has the highest vertical. Which one is elevated in today's society higher? Find me the kid who loves cooking. By the way, I want my kids to love cooking. You know why? That means they're going to cook good stuff. You know what happens when they cook good stuff? They need a taste tester. I'm willing to serve my children. But put him against the kid that can take out wide on the football field to catch that pass over his shoulder to make the 70-yard touchdown. Which one's elevated higher? Be a man. Play sports. Be a man. This is where your identity comes from. Be a man. Be athletic. And then after that young age on a playground where we're trying to tell them to be a man because of what you can physically do, the next thing that they can only move towards is when puberty hits is their sexual prowess. How many women can you be with? How many dates can you go on? That girl that no one else can you get her? And now all of a sudden, our manhood is defined by our sexual contests. But I just got to be honest with you, that's called the predator. That's called abuse. But somehow we live our life telling our boys to be a man, and how do you prove that you be a man? So you're going to be a man one of two ways. So like for me, I had sexual abuse when I was a kid. And I didn't open up because I lived in a house where my parents wanted to talk about things, but I had to stuff this down. Why? Because I was abused by this other boy, and in order for me to be a man, I have to prove that these other boys aren't going to do this to me again, so I got to be with as many women. So I was a flirt. I was a tease. I was all. This is my history. Why? Because I had to prove my sexuality, and that's what it means to be a man. And then you get to the point where you start looking around and all these other men have all this other stuff. So you know what you have to have? You need to have all these economic successes in your life, and you need to make more money to have the bigger house, to have the third car, despite the fact that you don't even drive the motorcycle that you bought 2 years ago, but you just had to have it because your friends bought one. We start measuring all these things by economical success, and then here's what happens. And by the way, I'm just going to go really like off Bible for you. I'm going to go full psychological. There's a thing called Alexi Thymon, where this term without Lexi, words, Thymon, emotions, or feelings. So here's what ends up happening. And psychology today says this, that 80% of the men suffer from some sort of this. Alexithymia says this, it's the inability to put emotions and feelings into words. So, men, right now I want to ask you if you suffer from that, but in your brain you're sitting there going, I got to process that. Do I have a problem putting my emotions into words? See, just so you guys know, the women around you right now can answer this for you. But women, I need to help you a little bit. Now, listen, I'm going to get in trouble for the next 5 minutes of my thought here. I'm okay with that. Because there's a side door right there, and I've increased security for today, just for me. Although, I shouldn't have had the girl on this one, because I don't think she'll have my back. But listen, here's what I have. Men and women, we communicate differently. So as a man, we're trying to figure out this answer. Women, you're busy already circling the question that we talked about. Because women talk in circles. This is not an indictment. This is an observation. It's so much of an observation that at least three times this week, I said to my wife, this coming Sunday, when I say the phrase, women talk in circles, remember this moment right here. And men, you know this to be true. You know this to be true because there's been a time in your life when you said, hey, honey, what's for dinner? And here's how the conversation goes. Well, it's crazy because I went ahead and started my Walmart online Aldi pickup. And I was going in my grocery cart, but the kids ended up being pretty distracting. And so it ended up timing out, so I lost my time. So we're going to end up having to pick it up later today. What's for dinner? And she goes, well, I'm going to be picking it up later today, but one of the reasons I also got distracted, do you remember Judah's friends who on the soccer team with him, the Clarks? No, I don't know the Clarks. She says, of course you know who the Clarks are. 2 years ago, we were at the tournament over in Creve Court. Okay, how do you remember that? Men, here's what you have to be careful. Women remember everything. Women, it's the reason we don't want to get in an argument with you. Because you'll be in the middle of an argument, and she goes, you were standing right over there eating a chicken wing with your white T-shirt and a barbecue stain, and you brought up the, like they can remember time and dates, locations, and clothing. And she goes, of course you remember the Creve Coeur. That's the one you didn't bring a hat. And it was really sunny, and we had to borrow the sunscreen from Tracy. You remember Tracy? I don't know who Tracy is. And she goes, yeah, you had to borrow the sunscreen on that day, but you didn't wipe it down the back of your neck enough so the lower part of your head. By the way, us bald men, you know what I'm talking about. You got to slather that thing completely or you're going to have weird sunscreen marks all over your head. And she said, by the way, don't forget about the Clarks. Who are the Clarks? I've already covered this, honey. You won't believe this, but they ended up coming down with COVID and grandma got really sick. Now, she's 86 years old. She lives in a different place, but she ended up getting sick and passing away. And I can't believe they lost their grandma. And I'm going, Who lost grandma? Don't worry about that because we as a soccer team decided to go ahead and do meals for her and I signed up tonight and we're going to be taking them over some pulled pork. Why are we taking them pulled pork? And she goes, well, that's what we're having for dinner. Because women circle it. They circle it. And men, here's why you got in trouble. While they were circling, you answered the question. They hadn't asked it yet. While they're circling, don't solve it for them because they'll get annoyed that you tried to bring that plane in for a landing early. We got to let them circle. We got to let them circle. But women, while you're busy circling, men are busy internalizing. So you want us to talk about it. We checked out a few minutes ago. You want us to talk about it, but we're busy internalizing so that we can solve it as men. We're doing everything we can not to even have our knuckles on the ground nowadays. You're just happy we're upright. So let us internalize this thing. But the problem happens when women, you demand men to communicate like you while we're trying to internalize, then you turn around and say something like this. Why can't we just talk about it? Because we don't speak your language, because we reverted into our cave to think about it, and if you don't give men time to think about it, eventually you'll just roll a stone in front of us and say, you've isolated yourself. But here's men, we'll come out of that cave eventually and we'll go, hey, you remember that thing we talked about the other day? What are you talking about? Last Tuesday, something about soccer and some woman died. We don't remember all the details.
But I think it's a good idea that we gave them some food.
But if you're in the cave, if you're internalizing, if wife's pressuring, if all we ever been trained how to do is to push down and control our feelings, then the fact is we actually never learn about who we are as individuals. And men, you have to hear this. If you never learn who you are, how can you ever learn who someone else is? How can we be empathetic if we're just pathetic when it comes to our own emotions, our own feelings, our own thought process? Because the only thing we've been trying to do all our life is to be a man. And if we live by this thought that we have to be this conqueror on the sports field, this conqueror in the bedroom, this conqueror in the boardroom, then eventually you'll find out that that isn't the correct definition, nor how God originally made you. So what do we start doing? We start isolating. And by the way, I'll circle back to that one in a minute, because that's the one I really, today, you're not in this alone. We're going to break down the walls of isolation. But the other thing we start doing is you start having these substance abuse. And I know when I say substance abuse, your mind goes to smoke, and it goes to shooting, it goes to drinking. But can I say, it can go to playing. It can go to driving. It can go to golfing. It can go to swimming. It can go to lifting. There's so many things that we can do to abuse in order to try to appease who we are as a person. But can I tell you this? You can never play your sport long enough. You can never sleep with enough women. And you can never make enough money to actually satisfy this God-given creation that you are and what it looks like to be a real man, let alone a man of God. And the other covert depression that men fall into is violence. And by the way, when you look at why do gangs get together, why do kids run together in packs, why are there bullies, I think it all comes back to a misunderstood understanding of what it means to be a man. But I did read one paper that said this: violence is nothing more than unprocessed grief. Because we're not in touch with our own emotions, and in order to do this, we lash out on other people. But this thing about isolation, here's what I want to tell you. 1 Kings 19, 9 through 10. There he went into a cave and spent the night by himself. And the word of the Lord came to him and said, Elijah, what are you doing here? And he replied, I've been very zealous for you, Lord Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. I tore down the altars. I put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. When you choose to go into a place of isolation, you write the narrative that keeps you there. This is all negative, nothing positive, nothing hopeful, nothing to move towards, nothing to live for. And it's me, no one else, by myself. We start using these massive terms that separate. But men, you have to see that you are not alone. And I mean that twofold today. 1 Kings 19:11 then goes on, the Lord said, go outside, stand. By the way, you wonder how God said this to him. Come on, buddy, let's go outside. I think he had a little bass in his voice on this one. Go outside. Say, hang on, I got to try that. I got to channel my Barry White for just, girl, there it is, girl. Go outside. Who is it? No, I more went with Eddie Murphy. Here's how we answer though in my neighborhood. Who is it? So, go outside. Stand on that mountain. Okay, now it's just getting weird. In the presence of the Lord. For the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great, powerful wind tore through the mountains and tore it apart, shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. Why? Because men, we want to do massive things that change everything at once, but that's not how you change your life. We want to do these wide, sweeping, massive, and with it just being the first part of January, let's talk about New Year's resolutions, and you did up 15 items that you're going to change in 2021. I have a prophetic word for you. You're doing none of them. Sorry, I'm Captain Honest this morning. You can't change that many things in your life. You can't allow that windstorm to come and just destroy everything. But then after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, ready for this, this is our God. This is the one that we serve. This is one who cares for us and sent his one and only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us on a cross so that our sins could be covered and live eternally with him. God then came with a gentle whisper. Why is this beautiful? Because men, our entire life, when we've been told to be a man, it was never with a gentle whisper. It was with a tone. It was with a tin. It was with shoulders back and voice raised. It was a type of energy that came to you that as a child you didn't know what to do with, to be a man. And you didn't even know what that meant. But somehow the way you were acting was the way you had to start kiboshing, the thing you had to start pushing down. And all of a sudden, God comes in a different voice to say this, come stand outside with me. I want to show myself to you. And when Elijah heard this, he put his cloak over his face, went out and stood in the mouth of the cave and said, Elijah, what are you doing here? Why? Because men, there's two things I want to tell you in this place of isolation that you feel like you're alone. And the first one is this, you are not alone. God is with you. But God could have told Elijah what he was there. But I think what God was trying to do was Elijah to get in touch with the emotions of what brought him to this prison. To get in touch with these feelings that he has pushed down, this desperation that he was in, this depression that he was facing, suicidal thoughts. This is considered one of the greatest prophets in our ancient literature, and he's a suicidal thoughts. But hey, get to Navigation Church on this Sunday morning, put a smile on your face because everything's fine. Let's fake it till we make it. Please, don't let that be the mantra of your life. But be able to say, my God is whispering to me going, what are you feeling in this place? Connect your heart with your head. And then the next thing, I love this. 1 Kings 19:18 goes on and goes, oh, and by the way, I've reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouth have not kissed him. Elijah, you are not alone. See, when you're in this depression, suicidal, downward spin of everything is horrible and my life is completely falling apart, we get this myopic view, we get this limited view of the world around us, and we start believing the story that we're telling us, and eventually the enemy would love the thought that you think you are here by yourself, no one's ever faced this thing, there's no way you can get out of it, you are all alone. And God at the very end goes, by the way, dude, you are really wrong. I have thousands of people that are on your side. And look around this room right now. Men, you need to know this. You have hundreds of people on your side. You are not alone. We're in this together in order to conquer. We're in this together in order to become more than conquerors. And you're going to be one of two things right now. You're going to either be a person who's already gone through something, reaching behind, pulling that person up and out, or you're going to be the person in a hole with your hand extended looking for someone to pull you up. Around here, we call these things providential relationships. What if the worst thing you ever experienced in life is not gone? Now you go, well, I want it to be gone because it's the worst experience of my life. No. The experience of it is gone, but the lesson that you learn through it still exists. And what if the lesson that you learned going through it can now be the tool someone else can use to get through it? You could be someone's providential relationship. And then men, these insecurities that we have in our head of we're in this by ourselves and no one knows how I feel. Men, can I just tell you, you are not alone when it comes to the size of your wallet. There are some other people out there that have credit card debt just like you. There's other people that apparently our government's going to be passing some stimulus check, and they just can't wait because it gives you a little bit of breathing room, maybe for 2 to 3 weeks. But can I tell you, men, there's other guys around this place that have gone through what you're going through. Not only have they gone through, they live a debt-free lifestyle now, and they actually have something in the bank called money. That if they need to write a check, if they need to send a payment somewhere, they don't have to get online to see if what check cleared and didn't clear. where you, money seems to be this overwhelming thing that you don't know what to do with it and how to handle it. And rather than you managing your money seems to be managing you. There's other people that have not only gone through it before, they know how to get through it. And they want to be a providential relationship to you to help you realize that you're not alone when it comes to your financial woes. Hey, men, when it comes to your bodies, there's some other guys out there that actually work out. There's some other guys out there that know nutrition. There's some other guys out there, and you just may need to hear this, all Oreos are bad. There's are. You think you're cutting calories by going by the single stuff instead of the double stuff. But I just need to give you insight. Single stuff are no good. They should do away with single stuff, go straight to double stuff. Double stuff is now the new single stuff. But that's coming. Wait, I heard booze. You with me on this? Okay, yeah, one guy with me. I don't know what single stuffs are. You know what single stuffs are? It's a waste of a top because you got to do two tops on the size of an Oreo. Now, having said all that, while my mouth is salivating at the thought of Oreos this afternoon, no Oreos are healthy. But then we get to this mindset of what do I do? And there's all these different diets out there. There's all these different workouts, all these different supplements, all these different apps out there. Do you know we actually have men here in the church that have not only, but are currently coaching men in fitness and helping them become more physically healthy? Well, I don't have the energy to do it. No, you don't have the energy to do it because you don't put the energy out to do it. But the moment you put the energy out to do it, you'll have more energy in your day than you've ever had before. But you think you're isolated and you're fat over belly hanging, you're chunky. Let's just say it the way it is. No one sees it because I wear baggy stuff. Now, we all see it, and you're insecure about it, and we can fix that. When it comes to your relationships at work and you don't know how to do it, you're not isolated. There's been men that have worked for other people and have their own businesses now and give you insight on what this looks like. But we continue to think that no one else knows the way I do and no one has a boss like me. Everyone's had a boss like you. There's like a very small percentage of good bosses that everyone else wants to work for. The rest of them are bonehead bosses that are just a step above you, and if you were that person, people would be saying it about you. So how do you work in those environments? How do you get coaching? How can you, when you get done at night, rather than going home and dumping all these emotions that you don't know how to process onto your family and kids, and they don't look forward to dad being home at night, have the ability to talk to someone else to process it so you go home to be the father they want your kids deserve for you to be? When it comes to relationships, when it comes to all these different examples that I can give to you, men, you are not alone in this. And we here at Navigation Church, we want you to engage with other men and get connected in a community of faith, because what would break my heart is to find out that less than 1% of men who come to church have any type of relationship with other men in church. And actually, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to do something called a good old-fashioned altar call. How many grew up in church? You know what an altar call is? This is a time where I make a last plea for you to come to know Jesus, or for a healing, or for something you need in your life. And everybody comes down to the front right here in the altar, and then we do a prayer line. Prayer lines were great. You got shoulder to shoulder with people. And you always had the pastor coming through, and people were handing them mints, because after about 30 minutes of talking, lots going on in there. But you don't want people to get touched by your halitosis. You want them to get touched by the Holy Spirit. And so, like, we did these prayer line stuff. So we're going to do something called an altar call. The difference is, rather than coming forward for your altar call, you're going to go backwards for your altar call. Right in the back of the auditorium, we just kind of created an engaged booth right there, an engagement booth, where we're going to have men back there to do one thing: connect with other men. Ladies, please hear my heart on this. No women allowed. Next week, it'll be no men allowed. Because, ladies, if a guy's trying to open up to another guy and the wife comes up, the spouse comes up, the honey comes up and starts listening in, I promise you this, they will shut down. Because we have a mentality that as a man, I can't be like this. But when you have another guy standing in front of you going, dude, my life's a wreck. Man, you won't believe what happened to me this past week at work. I have doubts in my life. I have insecurities in my life. Somehow their transparency makes them more vulnerable, and their vulnerability makes you more transparent. And now you can have an honest conversation where, guys, we can do life together. And so if you're watching us online, I'm going to dismiss those sitting in here with us right now. But for those watching online, here's what your altar call looks like today. We would like you to connect with our men's ministry here at Navigation Church. So if you look into the comment section, someone's throwing a link right now to a Zoom conversation. If you're watching this after this Sunday morning live broadcast, no one will be on that Zoom call for you. But you can still connect with us through our social media. So those watching online right now, Pastor Aaron already told you about giving, and you know how to do all that. I don't want to make this about closing down the service. I want to make this about you connecting with Navigation Church. So if you're a man out there right now, and if you feel isolated, if you feel all alone, I'm going to ask you to look into the comment section of our Facebook, of our navchurch.org, and our app. If you look into that comment section, you'll see a Zoom link. We got one of our men from the men's ministry waiting for you right now in that Zoom call. No expectations. Just pop in and say hi, and we'd love to be able to connect with you. So those watching in our online community, God bless you. We are so happy that you're here with us today. Men, please take 30 seconds and click on that link. We'll see you next week. And for those sitting in here, here's what the altar call looks like. What I'd like